Hello and welcome to episode 68 of the Ginger and the Beard podcast. I'm AJ, aka the Ginger.
And I'm Reese, aka the Beard.
And today we're covering the official announcement of Windows 11, the Pentagon's report on UFOs, Fedor's return to Bellator, and VR mini golf.
Don't forget to use the chapters below and subscribe to us on your favorite podcast platform. All right, man, let's get right into it. So it's official. We know now. Windows 11.
We know now, my friend. Yeah, we talked about this last week. Obviously, whenever you've got a leak, you never know for sure. Like, did Satya, how do you say his name? Satya Nadella, I think, CEO of Microsoft. Did he release this leak purposefully to just misdirect the press? No, of course not. It was, pretty much a one-for-one leak, I think. Basically, everything we talked about last week in terms of the Windows 11 leak was proven to be true, but we have some additional details now on what's actually in Windows 11. And you watched the live stream, I think, right? And you were chatting me about it.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I did. Yeah. It was very boring.
Was it?
I was watching it during work, but it was... Maybe I'm attacking this guy on like a personal level, but the presenter is just like
didn't have the it factor.
They weren't convincing. You know what I mean? Like, they were saying things and they were like, oh yeah, but so yeah, oh man, I love this, right? But it was like, no, you don't, dude. I can see right through you, bro. You don't care.
What? Yeah.
The main presenter, I was just like, this shit is so fake, dude. Like, you couldn't have got somebody else in here to fucking act this out?
Was it Panos Panay? I think he's like the head of Microsoft.
I don't remember his name. That's probably who it was, but I don't know.
Chief Product Officer. Yeah, that's one thing you can say about Apple, dude. They've got their keynote, because they've been doing these keynote things for like a long time, right? These public keynotes. They've got that shit down to a science, dude. Like, they know how to build up the hype. They use all the special effects, like, ever since COVID happened, and they haven't actually had people in the crowd. They've been doing some really crazy, like, CG work with their presentations, like, make it look like you're flying in a drone. You go, like, into the Apple headquarters underground to their secret, like, processor lab, and then it's, like, the next presenter talking about, like, yeah, here in the processor lab, we're working on whatever.
Dude, no. What they did...
It's intense.
What they did was like a simple pan where he was like in like a room and then he like panned into this like virtual kind of space. But it was like such a, corny, like, I was like, what? That's all you guys got? Like, I could do that.
When they get over to the next presenter, they're still like trying to like clip the lav mic on their belt. And like, shit.
Oh. Oh, wait, one second. Go back. Pan back.
Yeah. That's hilarious.
I'm pretty sure that happened.
That's so funny. Well, I didn't get to watch it. I need to go back and watch it just for comparison's sakes. But, we talked. I'm going to kind of fly through the stuff we already talked about last week. But we got confirmation on the new start menu design, the taskbar design, where it's located on the screen, the new snapping functionality where you can essentially – you've been able to snap windows around, but now there's like a different interface for how you do that. New system-wide themes, which actually look pretty good. So that's all the stuff we kind of talked about already, but some stuff that we haven't covered yet is, well, maybe it was in the leak and I just didn't know about it, was the Microsoft Teams integration. Did you see that?
I don't remember that from the leak, but I did see that in the announcement.
Yeah. Yeah. So for you guys that don't know yet, essentially as a consumer now, And forgive me if I just don't know this, but I don't know that. Is Teams available to everyday Joes at this point?
No.
Or is it only available to enterprise?
The last time I remember it was you had to have a 365. You had to have like Office 365, which I don't think they call it Office 365 anymore. But like, you have to have the suite, basically.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, now apparently it's built into Windows 11 to allow just regular consumers to interface with one another, just like FaceTime essentially. So, you know, that's pretty cool. But my question is, and I'm interested to hear what you think about this, because you are a Teams user for work already.
Yep.
Is, I think where they're going to fall short with that is that kind of you're relying on people to have a Windows device to communicate with, I guess. So I guess what I'm saying is, unless maybe, again, maybe there's a Teams app. Is there a Teams app for Android and iPhone?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I work with people that use Mac only, and they have to have Teams.
So they can still enter. Okay, so you can still do video chats, I guess, with Mac and iPhone, Android. Okay, I guess that makes sense. I wasn't really thinking about that. That's kind of where I was like, but this still goes back to, like, you have people who like FaceTime. You have people that like Google Hangouts. You have people that like Teams. You have people, back when Google released all their crazy messaging apps, it's like, well, now I have to convince all my friends to switch over to Google Allo so I can, like, try to use these cool features. So yeah, I don't know. See, I mean, I guess it's cool to have that functionality built in, but there's already so many services you can just get by going to, you know, Google or whatever. But
it's so many larger, I feel like a lot of, like, the brick and mortar companies still use the Microsoft suite. Development teams, a lot of development teams probably are, you know, switching to Mac. But from my experience, a lot of maybe the startup companies, or I don't know how to say it, but I see a lot of companies that are still using the Microsoft suite and haven't switched over yet. A lot of, like, the newer age, the, like, hipper kind of companies are trying to use, like, Mac and stuff, and, like, the more, like, classical, like, I don't old school companies, I guess, are still using
traditional,
you know, they're living 20 years ago. They're not living today.
Well, you seem to like Microsoft 365, right?
I love it, man. I hate Google Sheets. I love Microsoft Excel. I love Microsoft PowerPoint, Word. Like, I think there's just so much more functionality to those programs. And I think your everyday user probably doesn't need that functionality. And that's why more people prefer just the simpler, you know, Google Sheets, or, you know, the Word version of Google, right? Or even the Mac. I don't even know what Mac has, honestly. But, you know, like, I need more functionality. Like, I need to be able to, like, do a whole bunch of different stuff. And if I didn't have that, anyway,
your life would be way harder.
It would be so hard. It really would.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess for, like, not every day, every company that I've worked for so far has had Google Suite, which has made it really easy for me whenever I transitioned into a new job or whatever. Is, you know, I'm very familiar with it, but Google's good, man. They keep adding more functionality to their stuff. It's easy to use. It's easy to learn. But I do probably, I don't have that much experience with 365, but I'm sure it probably has a ton of great functionality. And they've gotten, they're as stupid as it sounds, man. Like, for me, as, like, a very visual person, if the software looks like garbage, like, I just can't get into it. But I've seen some of the 365 stuff lately, and they've done a lot of they've made a lot of improvements to how stuff looks, you know, the interface and stuff. So if they can keep improving that, I'm up for it. But, you know, so that's cool. But one other thing is, there's a new Microsoft Store. I don't really know this. I don't really understand the significance of that, other than I think the real kicker here is that you can now find Android apps in the Microsoft Store. And your PC will be able to support, or your Windows machine will be able to support a specific set of Android apps. So as an Android user, does that excite you at all?
Not really. No? And I'll say the reason why is because, like, the apps are developed for use with less equipped hardware, I guess you could say. Like, they're designed for use on your phone, right? So if I'm going to download a paint tool, I'm not going to download the one from the, you know, the Microsoft Store. Like, I'm going to go online and I'm going to find one, you know, that works on my computer and has, like, full functionality.
Right.
The only benefit to having, you know, those ones, you know, direct to your, desktop, I guess, would be, like, right now I have a laptop where if you fold the screen back, it turns into a tablet, right?
Yep.
And you only get access to that functionality when you fold the screen back. So like with Windows 11, I wouldn't have to fold the screen back. I would just have that tablet functionality at all times. And that would probably go the same for if I had some kind of tablet hooked up to my computer somehow. I mean, like, but I probably won't use that functionality. I'll probably never open the Windows Store.
I don't think I've ever opened the Windows Store since I've had my computer, which is hilarious. But, you know, I can see the use case a little bit. Like, that's one benefit to being an iPhone user and having a MacBook is that I have that sort of integration with messages, with phone calls, FaceTime, stuff like that. Windows, you don't really get that same thing. They have the Your Phone app on Windows, which allows you to connect your Samsung device. I believe it has to be a Samsung device. Correct me if I'm wrong, anybody out there. So you can do like messaging and stuff, but I don't know that it's quite as good as what you would want it to be.
Just use Google.
Yeah.
It's so much better. Have you ever done that?
From the browser, you mean?
Yeah, you can text from your browser.
Yeah, and I used to do that when I had an Android phone.
It's so clean. Like I don't see any. I mean, I guess that would be cool to have. You know, if I could have my messaging app like directly on my PC, that would be cool. Because yeah, I mean the browser version doesn't give you full functionality like you have on your phone.
Yeah.
You know, so if it had full functionality just like your phone has, and that'd be cool, I guess. That'd be nice.
Yeah, I'm sure there's a ton of other apps out there that people can make the case for. I read an article today, I think it was from The Verge, and they were talking about how you could play your mobile games on your desktop if you wanted to. Maybe if you're at work. Here's a good use case. You're at work. Your boss sits at the end of the cubicle aisle in a glass office. And can see you from his or her office. And as long as you look like you're looking at your computer screen, your boss is peachy. But if you look down at your phone, your boss is like, hey, man, what you doing over there, bro?
Yeah.
So now I can look at my computer screen, but really I'm playing Temple Run from my keyboard.
And you're allowed to, or at least my company is allowed to have those like screens. They put those like little films. Those little films, right? So it's like you can't see it from an angle. You have to be like looking directly at it, right? And so like everybody at my company has that. And it's like...
So he could be literally right beside you. And you could be like... You could be playing Subway Surfers and he would have no idea.
Yeah, exactly.
You're just like, well, I'm just tabulating spreadsheets.
I would go over to these guys' desks and be like, yeah, show me that one thing. And I'd be like, I can't see your screen. I have to be like... Yeah. I'd have to be like head-to-head with them. All right, I can see it now.
COVID what?
Yeah, right.
Like, let me get in your chair so I can see your screen. Yeah, my boss used to have one of those too, and she would always try to show me her presentations that she's working on, like ask me for feedback, and she'd like turn her laptop like 45 degrees. I'm like, I still can't see your screen. You're gonna have to take that little thing off, please.
Yeah.
They're quite effective, but it would annoy the crap out of me.
But Temple Run, man, it's all about Temple Run.
That's right, as long as you can get some runs in. But so here's the kicker about the Android app situation, though. Whether or not you are personally thinking to yourself right now, I have a perfect use case for that. Well, you might want to go and pick up your nearest Kindle. Just stick with me here. And check to see if you can find that app from an Amazon device. Because apparently, and I didn't like fully grasp this as I read it, the App Store, the Android portion of the Windows App Store is powered by Amazon, not Google. Don't know how this deal got worked out. Makes no sense to me, but some backdoor deals I'm assuming happened. So the Android apps that you can get from Amazon today are the Android apps that you will be able to get from the Microsoft Store on your PC. So historically, I had I think we bought the kids some Android tab or not Android some app jeez Amazon tablets at one point for them to get some games and stuff on. And like the App Store is so limited even though it's running essentially a skinned version of Android, you don't have access to the entire Google Play Store by default. So that means that some of your Android apps may not be available to you when you get Windows 11.
That's interesting. I don't understand all the way. Let me real quick recap what I think you just said.
Yes.
The Android store is actually run by Amazon.
On Windows 11.
On Windows 11. The Google store, which when I say Google store, I mean the Android store, right? We're talking Google Android. Google Play Store. Google Play Store is the Android store. That's what you mean, right?
Yes.
So Google Play Store is actually on the back end. It's actually run by Amazon. So right now, you can't get the same apps. I know right now you can't get the same apps on the Amazon store as you can on the Google Play Store.
Correct.
But you're saying once we transition to Windows 11, you will be able to get all of the apps?
No.
Fuck.
So on your Android phone right now, the Google Play Store, you have access to all of Android apps that are available through Google.
Right.
On a Kindle,
you only have access Amazon. To
a limited supply of, they are technically Android apps because it runs Android, just a super heavily skinned version of Android.
Yeah.
You only have access to specific apps because app developers don't make them for Kindle devices because for whatever reason, the Amazon store selection of Android apps is what will be available on Windows 11 because when Microsoft and Windows made some kind of a deal, it doesn't make any sense. So for, if you are a person who's like, well, what the hell, man? Like I've got some stupid unicorn tracking app that I can only get through Google Play Store. What? I always use unicorns as examples, like whenever I'm working with my team, whatever, just as hypothetical situations. I don't know why. It's just hilarious.
Okay.
You know what? Don't judge me. I feel like
I'm gonna start using that actually.
Yeah, it's good. Like when you're like trying to explain a situation, but like
so, if take a unicorn walks 5 miles uphill in the snow,
yeah,
during the summer, that's it.
Just stop there. Just stop talking. Well, what? You guys, like, what were you expecting?
I need an answer now. I need an answer. Anyway.
That's funny.
So, yeah, man.
Yeah. All right. Anyways, so you can, a Microsoft engineer has confirmed that you will be able to sideload Android apps with Windows 11. So, if you don't know what sideloading means, essentially that all that means is that you can download something from another source and install it. Usually you have to do some fancy workarounds, maybe do some command line stuff.
That was never a question. You can always get an emulator and you can just emulate
anything.
Anything. Like right now, like on my computer, I can get whatever I want. Seriously. It's probably illegal.
Yeah.
But I could literally get whatever I want for free.
Yeah. Yeah.
Seriously.
You're right. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. People probably are laughing at this. They're like, I already got what I want on my. I think this whole Windows 11 thing, and we're gonna get more into this in a second, is geared towards the everyday consumer user versus the power user that Windows is traditionally known for. But
that's what sucks.
Yeah. And I'm excited to hear your thoughts because I know you have a lot. So to sideload, we don't really have a lot of details on how you have to go about doing that, where you would get your apps from, how you would install them, how you would run them. But it's pretty safe to assume that there will be people, as you just mentioned, who are able to get around paywalls and stuff by sideloading. And you also have to keep in mind that doing that, depending on where you download, the benefits of using a store of any sort, whether it's Microsoft, Amazon, Apple, Google, is they are verified publishers in most cases. Google may go through less of a verification process than someone like Apple would, but there's some sort of like checking that to make sure that people aren't installing, you know, malware on your device. But if you're sideloading, that's all out the window. So you are opening yourself up to some dangerous stuff that might, you know, test your Windows Defender. So, anyways, probably don't do it.
That's not a big deal. If you're running trusted programs, like,
yeah.
You don't have to worry.
For sure.
If Bob calls you with an Indian accent and says, hey, download SysKey, and you do, then you're an idiot. Don't do that.
Yeah. You should not own a computer.
You shouldn't own a phone either.
Exactly.
So
that's all the new stuff. That's the main new stuff. There was some other behind the scenes performance stuff, but I'm curious because I know you are, like I said, more, you've been a Windows user for way longer than me, and you've got some feels about the direction they're going. So I'm curious to hear what you think.
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple things. Like, I'm gonna sound like an old man, just like an angry old man, I feel like, but it is what it is. Like, I'm stuck in my ways. So the one thing I'm really, the first thing that like kind of stood out at me is the fact that the taskbar is in the middle and you can't move it.
You can't move it?
Can't move it. You're not allowed.
What?
You can't put it on the side, the top, bottom. Like, it is, it's at the bottom.
No way.
That is it. You
can move it today. You can move it to the top, to the right, to the other side. You can't move
it? To the window, to the wall, baby. Yeah, dude. I'm not happy about that. Because there's been plenty of times where I've like put it on the left side, you know, and I've fiddled around with that. And okay, so that's like one thing. So that's a bad thing. Here's something that like maybe isn't bad. The using the multiple monitors, and like undocking and redocking and whatnot. I do have a use case for that because like at work, like, you know, I'll have to go from my office to the conference room, undock, dock over there. Never really been an issue for me because like I have a docking station, and once I put my computer on that dock, like everything goes back to normal.
Yeah.
Like it's, so I've never experienced any issues with that. And when I go into the conference room, I'm just plugging into an HDMI and like right. Never had any issues with that. So it's like cool, but doesn't impact me at all. So
yeah.
I'm sure maybe somebody that's like docking at multiple different stations for whatever reason,
are you talking about the snapping functionality?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Not just the snapping functionality, but the ability for it to recognize where all of your stuff is on which screens, and then duplicate that when you're like moving to a different station, right?
Yeah.
Because that's what it says it can do. It copies your setup, your like screen setup, and like where your icons are and all that stuff.
Right.
And it's supposed to be able to like duplicate that at a different workstation. It saves it essentially, which would include like this, the window snapping, right? You would assume that it would capture all of the, you know, however you snapped it, I guess. so cool, I guess. One thing that I noticed that, was from a different review, is that the search functionality right now, if you hit the Windows key, right? Currently on Windows 10, if you hit the Windows key, the search functionality pops up immediately. And it's built into that. now, with Windows 11, if you hit the Windows key, it opens up the start menu, right? But when you start typing, it has to switch over to the search functionality. It's two separate. They're separated now. So there is like a little bit of lag from that switch, which, I mean, I'm happy that the functionality is still there, but the fact that it's like taking a step back is like, why would you do that?
Right.
That doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. Curved edges. Fuck. yeah.
The one word's enough.
No.
Oh man, that's funny.
Widgets are cool. I like widgets. I think that's pretty cool. I want to see how that's going to go. I feel like that is going to be like a big money kind of grab right there, where you're going to see a lot of more programs on the Amazon store, I guess, with, you know, widget functionality, so that you can, you know, have widgets on your desktop. I'm not sure what kind of stuff they could pull up. I mean, you know, it'd certainly be cool to have like my Fitbit on my computer, you know, tied in together, and certainly, you know, calendar stuff, which, I mean, that doesn't really matter because I have it all on Outlook anyway. I'm sure there's some other widgets out there. You know, it'd be nice to have like a music widget on my desktop, right? Instead of me having to open a browser, I could just have that widget on my desktop. So that would be cool. That's something that I wouldn't mind. I don't know, like a calculator widget would be cool. I'm sure there's other widgets that I'm not thinking of that. So I like the idea of the widgets, and like from what I saw during the presentation, it did look pretty clean. Overall, like, it does look clean. I like that it looks clean, but I feel like I'm losing my Microsoft, and I feel like I'm gaining
a little bit of Mac. Like it's,
oh yeah,
it's you know, it's like they it's like they got married and Windows is starting to act like Mac, you know.
Yeah, I mean that's kind of what I feel too. I don't understand. I mean, I'm sure there's giant teams of people who get paid a ridiculous amount of money to conduct user testing and things like that. And I'm sure they tested, like, do you prefer this in the middle or do you prefer it to the left? I will say, looking at the mock-ups and the videos and things like that, and having used Windows for work, you know, since I've been working from home, I use the PC all the time, and I love Windows at this point. I like the left-justified search and start menu functionality, because what Mac does not do, they do have centered icons. There's no pop-up window like the start menu, right? Like, there's just a selection of apps that you click and you open. There's no start functionality. So the videos and mock-ups I see, if you click the Windows, the start icon, or you hit your Windows key, it pops up that giant window in front of everything you're working on. Like, yeah. Most people, I would assume, have their windows that they're working in, that you're typing something, you're reading emails.
Great point. Probably
in the middle of your monitor for the most part, like pretty close to the middle.
Yeah.
So you hit your Windows, it just covers up your whole browser window, right? Seems kind of stupid, but like that could be annoying, I feel like.
Absolutely, dude. I hadn't even thought about that. Yeah, that's going to be so annoying. Absolutely.
That's super annoying. That's very disruptive.
Yeah. One thing also is the hardware requirements to run Microsoft 11 have increased. I think like you need,
it was DirectX 12. I know that.
DirectX 12? Yeah.
For your GPU.
I don't think most people run 11 still. Like, I don't even think people are running, some people probably aren't even running 11 yet, but I think most people are still running 11. I think you have to have, I can't remember if it was 4 or 8 gigabytes of RAM. I think it was 4 gigabytes of RAM, which everybody should have by now anyway, but not everybody does. So it's just like putting that like hardware requirement on you there is like, hey, third world countries, get with the times. There's no chance you're going to be running our program anytime soon.
Yeah.
You know?
And for what? Like, you're streamlining it. Why do you need so much more performance?
Exactly. Right. You're not adding any functionality. You're actually cutting a lot of your functionality. So you know, why?
I think it probably is. I bet people complain so much about the lag in Windows, which I don't really have a lot of lag, but they want to make sure Windows 11 is super snappy and crisp. So they want to like limit the minimum specs to make sure that when you install it, it feels very snappy and quick. So maybe that's it. I don't know. Maybe they don't want any bad press.
I don't see how anybody could like get down on the OS for being like laggy. Like, I mean, upgrade your hardware if you're having issues, because that's your hardware that's the bottleneck. I mean, it might not be running as smooth as like a Linux or Mac, but like if it's lagging for you, that's probably because you're running on a shit computer from Windows, you know, from like 20 years ago.
Yeah, right.
So
I mean, otherwise, like the rounded corners and stuff, I don't know.
All preferential. I'm gonna be having nightmares.
It's preferential, I guess. You know, obviously I kind of like the sharp corners that are in Windows, but I am I have the privilege of using both operating systems often. I switch between them, you know, pretty interchangeably. So for me, it's a nice departure from Windows when I switch to Mac, and a nice departure from Mac when I switch over to Windows. It's like two distinct feels.
Yeah.
I don't really want them to be the same, but they definitely, it's like now all operating systems look very similar. Like Google Chrome OS is almost the exact same too. That centered icon set at the bottom.
From like a psychological standpoint, and I'm not a professional by any means, but like, this is something that I think, just from experience, I've figured out, but like the sharp corners, I feel like give it more order, right? And the rounded corners are going to make it a little bit more like chaotic. I feel like they're going to make it a little bit less, I don't know if rigid's the right word, but it's not going to have the same order to it. When you snap those two windows together, there's going to be like a little gap there, and it's going to be like, well, that's that's incomplete. That's not 100%. That bothers me. that's going to irk me. My OCD is going to take over, you know? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's definitely interesting, man. I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know. I don't know what to say about it. I mean, I think it's cool to see them innovate and not innovate. It's not innovative. It's cool to see them iterate and keep kind of improving and you know, making these small changes. But from what I've come to enjoy about Windows so far, the customization and things like that, I hope that they don't lose that. You telling me that you can't move the taskbar to the left or the right, that just like blows my mind. I'm like, what do you mean you can't move it? Are you going to tell me next time that I can't change my highlight colors to red if I want to, or I can't, like, you should be able to default back to sharp corners if you want to. Like, yeah, that's the whole point of Windows.
I agree. Maybe you can. Maybe I'm wrong about that. I know that if you go to their site, I think it's on their site, you can see like all of the changes in like the fine print. And it actually tells you like a lot of the, it's actually shows you, like, you can go through the list and see like all of the different functionalities that they removed. And yeah, I don't know, man. I think they're taking a step back. They're trying to make it look cleaner, but they're sacrificing functionality for the look.
It kind of almost feels like there's got to be some motivation behind it in terms of like the barrier to entry to Windows for like a high school kid who's been using a Chromebook for the last 4 years of high school, now going to college, has to decide, do I buy a Windows laptop or do I buy a MacBook? Oh, well, the Mac software looks very much similar to the Chrome OS. The Windows looks a little bit more intimidating. There's more buttons to click, more settings, more stuff like that. So let's give them an easier entry into Windows. But if that's the case, like, I remember there was the Surface RT way back in the day, and then the Surface Pros, and I think, was it Windows 8? I think there was a Windows 8, and then there was like Windows 8 Pro or something like that.
8.1?
I don't know. At some point, there was like a distinction between, there was Windows RT, which was like mobile/tablet focused, and then there was like full-blown Windows. But it's like almost like you should be able to choose your experience. Do I want the more simplistic, streamlined Windows, or do I want the pro version of Windows where I have all the functionality that I'm used to having?
I wish they would have like split and had two different product lines.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
That you could switch between. If you like, you could use the same machine. If your kid is new to Windows, he doesn't want all that crap on there. He can use Windows, whatever they call
Windows,
it.
Windows WAC. They'll just call it WAC. WAC. Windows WAC OS, and then
WAC OS.
Yeah, right. It'd be Windows WAC OS, and then you have just Windows
for normal people.
Yeah.
Shots fired.
I'm gonna have to switch to Linux, man.
I think you need to coin WAC OS. That's like definitely that's a solid
WAC,
trademark.
WAC OS, okay. And it's like, it's not even gonna be a W. It's just gonna be an upside down M.
I think we need to stop doing this podcast right now. We need to start development work on a new WAC OS, and it's purposefully bad. There's just like the taskbar at the bottom, the icons are just ever so slightly misaligned. Like, they're just a little bit off. So good.
Dude, that'd be awesome.
Oh, man. That's funny. All right. Well, you know, there's something about Windows has an allure to a lot of people. You know what else has an allure to it? Aliens.
Oh, my God.
We are about to talk about aliens just for a brief second. I got to mention this. This is technology news. I mean, there's nothing not technology about this.
What's your name?
So if you guys remember, there was this thing called COVID that happened and still kind of happening. There was all those relief packages. I'm not going to spend too much time on the story, but I just think it's fun to talk about. There was all those relief packages that took like way too long to get put together for people. But what politicians do is they like to stuff things in there, in these relief packages. They're like, okay, fine. We'll give you $120 million trillion if you also force the Pentagon to release their reports on UFOs/UAPs, whatever you want to call them, right? That's how they got by with stuff, right? They're like, okay, cool. We'll agree to that amount of money, but you also have to do this. Right. And that's why these deals and agreements take so long between the two parties. But in one of those things, that's what they agreed on. And Marco Rubio was part of the, you know, leading the charge on this. He essentially said, hey, you guys, the Pentagon, you have 6 months to release information on what you guys have reported on for UFOs, UAPs. So here we are. I'm saying we, primarily people like me, weirdos like me. I'm like, oh my gosh, man, this is it. This is it. We're going to find out about the aliens. The Pentagon's going to spill the beans. They're going to declassify everything. And the next thing you know, we're going to be making peace treaties with the aliens, right? So 6 months has come and gone. And the Pentagon finally, as of today, I believe, as of this recording, released their report. They publicized their report. So let's just not bear the lead here. The report was 9 pages long.
Oh my God. Are you kidding me?
It was 9 pages. And I wouldn't even count 9 pages because there was like an executive summary at the beginning. There was some like, what do you call it at the end of something where it's like,
a conclusion,
like a conclusion slash like appendix, an appendix for like a 9-page document, right? Like how stupid. So it's probably like 4 pages of meat in this entire thing. So we did not get confirmation that there is alien life forms. All they did is essentially reaffirm that, yes, there are some videos that were declassified that depict unidentified aerial phenomenon, which is what UAP stand for. We don't know what that technology is. We don't believe it to be, I can't even say that because the report, again, it's 9 pages. You should go read it. We'll put a link to it in the description of this video, but, the show notes here, but, it really, what it essentially says is collecting information about these occurrences is really hard. We need a lot of technology to identify what's going on here. And we also need more time to do more analysis. So, yeah, we're neither confirming nor denying that these are aliens.
What that actually means is when they say, oh, we need more time, that means they're not going to put any money towards this.
Yeah.
That means there's no budget for this. Nothing's ever going to come of this.
Right. Yeah, it essentially said that they would continue to investigate, but like, there's no definition around like what time frames or anything like that. So, I thought it'd be fun to talk about it. I mean, I think
there's no aliens, AJ. There's no aliens.
There are aliens. Don't you dare say that.
There's no aliens, dude.
There's aliens, 100%. I just don't think that the government will ever tell us until one like smashes into like a, public park or something, and no fatalities obviously, but like one smashes into the ground, then we'll know. Anyways, that's my conspiracy.
The earth
minute.
Is flat, we're the center of the universe, there's no aliens.
That's crazy talk, Reese. aliens are not crazy. Flat earth theory is crazy. Okay, there's a very clear line.
I'm not a flat earther. I think it's very obvious that there's other life forms in the vast expanse of the universe.
Yeah.
What is the probability that those other life forms have reached a technological advancement where they could visit us? I think it's very improbable.
We'll save that for our other podcast, Exploring the Universe with the Ginger and the Beard.
Exploring the Universe and the Illuminati with the Ginger and the Beard.
Mondays at 2 a.m. Eastern time.
All right, man. Let's talk about UFC.
Yeah, but before we do that, let's give a quick shout out to the What You Drinking segment. Make sure you guys go check out our YouTube video, the What You Drinking episodes. Tonight, I reviewed the Orange and Cream IPA from Cannon and Draw.
And I got the Gumball Head from Three Floyds, American Wheat Pale Ale.
Yeah, those videos are exclusive to YouTube, so make sure you head over to our YouTube channel to see our reviews, thoughts, impressions on those beers. Quick teaser here. One was good. One not so much. Go find out which one it was. All right, let's talk about UFC. All
right, man. I got some interesting news. You know, good old Fedor Emelianenko is back at it again. Bellator announces that he is coming back. I got to give credit to Alexander K. Lee from a post on MMAfighting.com. This is where I got my information from. The Last Emperor is currently 44 years old and has a record of 39-6 with one no contest, but that's not stopping him. October 23rd is his return at YTB Arena in Moscow. No opponent yet. That's to be decided. Interestingly, this is the first Bellator event in Russia. Surprised, you know, there hasn't been more events in Russia. You would think a country like that would want to host more MMA events, especially when they have, you know, Fedor, you know, who's just an absolute legend, which I'll explain here in a second. Regarding a potential opponent, Scott Coker of Bellator said they are going through the process and that a number of names have popped up, but nothing's been decided yet. This is Fedor's first fight since December 2019 when he defeated Quentin Rampage Jackson at Bellator 237. I did watch that fight.
Whoa.
Both of these guys looked like old men, looked out of shape. Yeah. Quentin looked like he had been just pounding beers for 3 years. He had a big old gut on him. He looked like me. Anyway.
I had no idea he fought in Bellator.
I don't know if he fights anymore in Bellator, but he was. Wow. Yeah, these guys are trying to get some money somehow. So in five fights since joining Bellator in 2017, Fedor compiled a 3-2 record. He had three first round TKO victories over Jackson, Chael Sonnen, and Frank Mir. He had a first round loss to Matt Mitrione, and then he also had a first round loss to Ryan Bader, which was actually for the vacant Bellator heavyweight championship and a Grand Prix crown. Interestingly enough, Fedor has two fights remaining on his contract. He expects that his final fights are going to take place in the U.S. or Russia. I wouldn't be surprised if they were both in Russia. You would assume they would both be in Russia and they'd probably sell out. Quoting Emelianenko, I'm ready, and I understand that my career isn't going to be lasting for too much longer, so I wanted to make the best of it. He's 44. I mean, career's probably over, but yeah, I guess he could scrounge up a little bit more cash. That's the best he could do at this point. There's no chance he's going to be doing anything. But when he was in his prime, he was recognized as one of the most feared fighters in all of MMA and is widely hailed as an all-time great of the heavyweight division. I think back then, he was the best. Like, there was nobody else that could beat Fedor at that point in time. But that was a different time. Now the fighters that we have today, Ngannou, God, dude. Anyway,
he's a monster.
He is just a fucking monster. Even I think that like the top five in the UFC right now would have just destroyed Fedor in his prime if you put them up against him in their prime versus him in their, you know. But it's a different time, so you can't really do that. You can't really make those comparisons because those people didn't exist back then. He was the fighter. He was the guy. Nobody could beat him. He was the best. Yeah. He was doing some crazy shit. So from 2000 to 2010, he amassed a 28-fight unbeaten streak. 28 fights, man.
Whoa.
At heavyweight.
That's crazy.
At heavyweight. Jeez, at heavyweight. Dude. Where, like, one-punch quitters are everywhere, right? So
one-hitter quitter.
One-hitter quitters, man. At heavyweight, dude. It's just so insane. Knocking off the likes of Antonio Rodrigo Nogueira, Andre Arlovsky, Tim Sylvia, Mark Coleman, Mark Hunt, Kevin Randleman, and many others. What a fucking record. What a legend this guy is. If you haven't gone back and watched his highlights or watched some of his best fights of all time, I recommend you do, because it was just a different time back then. And when you watched, when Fedor came out, just a certain energy filled the air, and it was just fucking amazing, man. You know, so what a fucking legend. You know, I'm really not that excited about this fight because he's certainly past his prime and it doesn't have the same kind of buzz like it used to. But good for him, you know, he's doing what he loves, and you know, Bellator maybe you know, will make some cash off of this, and it's good to see that Russia is holding a venue, and you know, he gets to honor Russia by fighting. I'm sure I would have to assume Putin's going to be there. So, yeah.
Maybe he fights Putin.
I doubt that. But
they tie Fedor's hands behind his back.
I wouldn't be surprised if Khabib was there. I wouldn't be surprised if Khabib was there. I wouldn't be surprised if Putin was there. So, yeah, man. I'll probably watch it. So we'll have to sit back and wait.
Yeah, man. I'm down. I'm excited to watch that. It's crazy that he fought all those guys that are like UFC legends. He never actually fought in the UFC.
I'm pretty sure he did, didn't he? He fought for Strikeforce. That's what it was.
Yeah, he pried Strikeforce, but not actually in the UFC. It says unsuccessful negotiations. So
Dana, yeah,
interesting.
Yeah, Dana White had altercations with his manager. They couldn't make things come together, and Dana was always like, "Dude, Fedor is not that good. If he came to the UFC, he'd get his ass beat. I don't even care about this guy."
But how can he say that when he's beaten Antonio Nogueira, Andrei Arlovski, Tim Sylvia, Mark Colt, like all these guys from the UFC that are complete killers?
Yeah.
Yeah, interesting. Well, yeah, I'm excited to see who they pit him up against. I mean, it might be another retired legend, so you never know.
Yeah.
So what if Randy Couture comes back?
That's exactly who I was just thinking. What the really? You read my mind. What the fuck?
I think Randy Couture is like 54 or something like that, though.
He's still a beast.
Of course he is. He's probably juiced up on some stuff, but
yeah,
see, Randy
fucking
Couture,
prune juice.
Oh, dude. Prune juice. Randy Couture, he's 58. I don't know. I don't think that's going to happen.
Damn, he's 58?
58.
Dude, yeah. I can't believe he came back and like won the championship when he was like in his 40s.
Yeah, he's a monster, man.
Yeah, that guy was something else, man. I bet he was roided up though before they fucking could check.
Before they test. Yeah.
I bet that's how he did it. He was probably all those guys were fucking roided up though.
Yeah, the rules were a little loose back then.
Fedor was roided up, dude. All those motherfuckers were fucked. If you go back and watch those guys that fought in Pride, they were fucking freaks.
Well, Mark Coleman he beat Mark Coleman. Isn't Mark Coleman like historic, famously like all on some kind of supplements?
Oh yeah, dude, absolutely. Come on now, go look at Mark. Coleman. Go look at that guy. Those guys were all juiced. They were all juiced. Yeah, they were all taking performance enhancing supplements and doing all kinds of crazy shit. You know, he was
dude, Mark Coleman's just like definitely roided up.
You can't even hide that, dude. You can't even hide that. No. He's fucking jacked.
He looks like a bodybuilder.
Which is crazy because like right now, like when you look at guys like Yoel Romero, or you look at fucking Francis Ngannou, or you look at fucking Kamaru Usman,
Paulo Costa,
like are these guys
they're not.
Like
or
I
they
think
have some fancy non-detectable
I don't think they are, dude. I don't think they're roided. I think these guys are just like fucking natural motherfucking freaks.
Specimens.
These are fucking specimens, dude.
There's a rumor apparently that Yoel Romero was like, again, this is me listening to listen to too much Joe Rogan, but apparently if anybody knows, he would know. There's like a rumor that Yoel Romero was a test.
A test tube baby? Is that what you're trying to go for?
No. Like the Colombians ran tests on him or something. He's Colombian, right? Or is he Cuban?
Cuban.
They ran tests on him. Like they did things to him to like see if they could improve human genetics or something like that. Because apparently he went to a doctor and like the doctor was like, there's literally no other human that I've ever looked at in my career that has like this sort of like tendon structure or like these like different like things that he's like no other human has this.
He doesn't get knocked out, dude. He's the only guy that I've seen get fucking head kicked flush,
yeah,
like fucking vicious head kick multiple times and never been knocked out.
Yeah,
like
he might be genetically altered. There might be some genetic modification.
I don't know, man. He's Captain Cuba. Captain Cuba right there.
Exactly. Exactly. It's like Captain America, but Captain.
They gave him the special juice, bro. They gave him that special shit. He is the Cuban Missile Crisis.
Oh, dude. That'd be a sick nickname.
Dude, he fucking is, though, man. He's
Yoel, the Missile Crisis, Romero.
Yoel, the Cuban Missile Crisis.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
That's hilarious.
That's crazy.
Well, you know, steroids definitely improve your chances of winning a victory. But if you ask Kevin Lee, there's something else that helps you improve your odds of winning. And that's a head tattoo. So apparently this was revealed back in November of last year. I had never seen this. I don't know how. He hasn't fought in a long time. But Kevin Lee, active fighter at welterweight, I think welterweight division or maybe.
No, dude, lightweight. He's lightweight. He's the same weight as Khabib, 155.
Yeah, my bad. So Kevin Lee at lightweight, he has a giant head tattoo now, and it's not like on this part of his head. It looks like it kind of runs from his neck up the back of his skull. If you click the link in our show notes, you can see it, and we'll definitely put a link to this in the description of the video so you guys can check it out. He calls it a helmet. I look at it. I don't really see a helmet pictured there, but I guess it's whatever you want it to be. You know, art is definitely subjective. So to me, it just looks like stripes and, you know, color blocks, but I guess we'll call it a helmet.
It looks really bad. That shading is terrible.
It looks kind of, I'm hoping that's like not this finished. It looks like it's not quite finished yet in this picture.
No, that looks finished. Are you kidding me? There's no bandages. There's no scarring. Like, that's done.
Well, like, it looks like there's like an outline that kind of goes behind his ear almost, like down to like his jawbone.
Oh, wait, like, you know, it
hasn't quite been filled in yet.
He's at the tattoo parlor, right?
Yeah, yeah, he's at, yeah, it looks like he's at the tattoo parlor in this photo, but
that looks, oh yeah, you're right, that's not finished.
So it's less about the tattoo for me and more about like what he said about it. So he said that, you know, towards the, like, his after his last defeat, I think it was to Charles Oliveira, which, you know, he lost to Charles Oliveira, that's not the worst, right? But he said that he was starting to like kind of lose his mojo, essentially, like he was losing his motivation for fighting and was kind of reconsidering things. But then he said that during COVID he kind of took the time to reflect and realize, like, dude, this is what I do, this is who I am. And he got this tattoo to remind him, he said, of the warrior he is and like the all the struggles that he's had and his like warrior mentality for so long, to remind him of that. And also said that, you know, you can't go back to a normal working job with a tattoo like that. So inspiration to be successful in fighting. Let me tattoo my head, because if this fight thing doesn't work out, you know, I can't go get an office job with this tattoo. So I really got to make sure I do good.
Yeah. I mean, he's 2-4 out of his last 6 fights. That's pretty rough. But I mean, being a fighter, like, you kind of have to give it your all. There's no way he could go back to an office job. I mean, if anything, he's going to be an instructor or own his own gym at some point.
Right.
And I guess he's got a fight coming up. Were you aware that he's going to be fighting on July 10th against Sean Brady?
He was supposed to. I think what I saw is that he was supposed to and that it got postponed because he actually got injured.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Okay. What I'm looking at right now says
that was one day ago.
Oh, okay. So this has not been updated then.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
He has some sort of injury. They had to postpone the fight. So yeah, we'll see if the tattoo helps him. But I thought it was also funny that he said that he got his inspiration from other rap artists that get face tattoos.
Why?
You know what I think this is, man? I think it's a call for attention, honestly, I feel like. Like, rap artists, for instance, I like Post Malone. You know who Post Malone is.
Of course.
I've been to his concert. You know, my wife's obsessed with him. He has so many face tattoos, and I actually listened to a podcast. You guys should check it out. He had an episode with Steve-O on Steve-O's podcast. Really good podcast, by the way. You should check it out.
Okay.
And he talked about the face tattoos, and I can't remember the reason he said. I think he originally did it just to say because he wanted to look cooler or something like that. But his manager was like flipping out and saying, "What the hell did you do, man? Like, you ruined your face. Like, this is going to ruin you, whatever." But instead, it had the complete opposite effect. That's what started to kind of get him the attention. Like, who's that guy with a tattooed face? Oh, it's Post Malone. Let's check out his music, right? So Kevin Lee apparently saying he drew inspiration from rap artists who get their face tattooed. Is this a cry for attention of like another reason to come watch the guy with a tattooed head? Like, is this the next evolution of the sport? People like, I've got to look intimidating. I mean, warriors, to be fair, I don't know which tribes of people, but like warriors traditionally have had like the tattoos, those tribal tattoos, to make themselves look more intimidating to their opponents. So maybe there's something to it. Maybe if you have like super intimidating tattoos, it gets into the mind of your opponent, it gets you more attention.
I'm just, why is he being a bitch about it, dude? He should have just got the full blown fucking face mask. If you're going to get a helmet and you don't have a face mask, like, there's no protection. If you get stabbed in the face, you got no protection. Why would you just, exactly. Why would you just have a helmet on the back of your head, bro?
Like, makes no
fucking
sense.
Step it up a notch. Don't be a bitch.
Come on, man.
Get the face mask.
And also make sure you get mom under this eye, just out of respect.
Absolutely.
I mean, I have tattoos. I have lots of tattoos, but I don't think I'd ever get a face tattoo. I don't think I'd go that far.
Maybe when I'm like 80 years old.
And just like, get one that says balls.
Why not? I used to work with a guy that had a bunch of face tattoos, and he was in his like 70s.
Really?
Yeah.
Were they prison tats?
They were something. Probably. They were gang related.
Dang.
He was like an old school fucking. I don't know
what he. Don't mess with that guy.
Oh, I wouldn't. Nah, that guy didn't give a fuck, bro. He spent most of his life in prison.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've known a couple of people that have been in prison. But fortunately, they're pretty cool people. But anyways.
They were. Yeah.
So that's all I've got. That's all I've got for Kevin Lee. You guys let us know what you think about his head tattoo. But I think we're about time to close this one out with some gaming news.
Yeah, we got a little bit of gaming news. Just real quick. You know how I like to, you know, give you guys updates on the whole VR scene. So I thought this one was pretty cool. COVID would have been really nice to have this during COVID. Technically it was available for parts of the pandemic. But anyway, VR game called Walkabout Mini Golf set to launch on Steam. It's already been out there. I'll get to that. I'm going to give credit to Ben Lang from a post on roadtovr.com. This is where I pulled this information from. And I am going to start trying to like credit these people that like I'm pulling this information from. I feel like it's appropriate. I'm not quoting them. And if I am quoting them, I would say that I'm just like summarizing what they're saying most of the time. Yeah. But you know, I feel like it's justified if I give credit. So anyway, this game launched on Quest in September of 2020, so it has actually been around for a while on Quest, but not available to anybody else. If you don't have an Oculus Quest, then you wouldn't have been able to play this. So it's a very well-rated VR mini golf game. So if you love mini golf and you have a VR headset, this is probably something you'd be interested in. And I'll tell you more as to why that is. So on July 15th, it's going to release on Steam. So everybody else is going to have access to it. Supports all PC VR headsets and crossplay with the Quest and Oculus PC versions. Awesome. The multiplayer capability allows up to 5 players to play the game together. So you can cuss at your friends as they beat you and you have a shitty score. Anyway, there's a room system that allows you to make a private room with a given name. And as long as other players on any platform have that name, they can join the game with you. They can, you know, go putting with you and chase after you and throw a ball. I don't know.
Swing clubs,
you know. Even if the round has already started, they can just join in mid-round. The game was recently updated with a 7th course, a full 18-hole course, 7th, which will be included in all versions of the game. It's the Western-themed Bogeys Bonanza. I haven't looked into what the other ones are, but that's pretty cool. It's there's an unlockable hard mode for each course, which modifies holes with more difficult terrain. The game also offers a little scavenger hunt on each course by hiding a unique golf ball near each hole. Each ball you get adds gets added to your custom ball collection. Hard mode courses get their own version of this, where players can find clues, which eventually unlock custom putters. So, you know, there's a little bit of a modification in the game where you can get custom balls and custom putters. So that's pretty cool. I just found this very interesting. You know, it looks pretty simple, looks pretty cool. Just another thing that VR, I think, is doing right. You know, this kind of should have been something that happened already. Something like, you know, like VR bowling, you know, like Wii bowling was around for a while, you know, VR stuff like this that brings people together and is like super relaxing, just like bowling or putt-putt is stuff that should be in VR to bring people together and, you know,
yeah,
let them, you know, have something to do if they're far apart from each other, you know?
Yeah, for sure. I'm looking at the pictures of it right now. I love the art style, that cartoony sort of like, it almost looks like Animal Crossing sort of style.
Right.
I like it. Very bright, colorful. It looks really fun, man. I love me some putt-putt golf. I haven't played putt-putt in forever.
Me either.
I have like zero good putt-putt golfs around here, which is kind of depressing because I live pretty close to the Virginia Beach oceanfront where they've got like 3 or 4 putt-putt courses and they're all pretty bad. But yeah, this seems pretty cool. You know, it'd be cool if they had a procedurally generated putt-putt golf course, like in VR, that like every time you played it, the holes were slightly different. So you can never like get, because like after a while, you probably play it and you're like, you know exactly where to bank it to make it go down the hole and into the clown's mouth, yeah. And
roguelike putt-putt.
Yeah, out the draft's butt and into the creek and into the hole, you know, drafts, hole in one every time. Butt.
And then it bounces off the unicorn and goes into the unicorn poo, and then you have to claw it out of the poo, and then you put it in, right?
Yeah. Did you know that I learned today that the unicorn is the official animal of Scotland? It's their, like, it's like their animal.
That's awesome.
And trivia at work today. That was a question. Yeah, we had like a trivia thing at work today.
That's
somebody's question was, whose national animal is the unicorn or something like that? And it's Scotland. Those guys, they just over there, they like some unicorns, I guess.
Their favorite movie's Labyrinth, and they love Tom Cruise.
Dude, Labyrinth was such a trippy movie. I was like so young when that came out. It was such a freaky movie.
That was the one with David Bowie, right? And like all of like the puppets and shit. That was crazy.
Super creepy.
Dude, which one was the one, was that the same, was that the one that had Tom Cruise in it as well? Which one is the one that had Tom Cruise with the unicorns and like the crazy fucking devil thing? The like the giant red devil looking motherfucker.
Legend,
dude. Oh my god.
Looking, I don't think I've ever seen this movie.
Legend, bro. Don't.
I just typed your entire sentence.
She
and it came up with legend.
She fucked up, man. She wasn't supposed to go play with those unicorns. She fucked up. Don't
giant
don't,
devil thing came out.
Yeah, dude. Don't play with those unicorns, bro. If you see unicorns in the wild, just look at them and don't go and scare them, because you go and scare them, everything gets fucked up.
This I'm looking at a picture of the devil thing from the movie. It looks just like the devil from Little Nicky, the Adam Sandler movie,
and from like those commercials of like the 2020, the
yeah.
Hey, I'm 2020. What's your name? You know, what were those commercials for, dude? It was.
I'm trying to remember. I know exactly what you're talking about. But I can't remember this. What it was for.
Was it like life insurance or some shit? Like, I don't even remember, dude. It was something. It was very funny though. It was like a match made in heaven. The devil and the year 2020.
It was a dating app.
It was a dating app. Probably, yeah. It was the devil. It was
Ryan Reynolds.
Was it?
It was. It's for Match.com.
Match.com.
Satan using Match.com.
And Satan meets up with the year 2020. Right.
Yeah. So funny.
That's hilarious.
There's some funny advertisers out there, man.
Yeah, they do a good job.
Got to give it to them.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I don't.
This has been fun.
Yeah, we don't have any more gaming news or anything. I mean, there's a big sale going on Steam right now. You guys should definitely go check out. I don't know. There's a lot of Legend of Mana just came out. So if you guys have ever played that before, it's a lot older. It's a very nostalgic game for me. I think I'll probably buy it. That's pretty cool. Yeah, that's it.
One other gaming. I think this is gaming related. Is Pokemon? Pokemon is technically a card game.
Are you? So I'm gonna come related. Through this fucking screen right now. What did you just say,
dude? You don't have Pokemon cards. We are the same age.
Did you just say that Pokemon was a card game?
It's a card game.
But it's not just a card game. You know that, right?
What do you mean? I mean, it's
you're fucking with me.
Cultural revolution. What are you talking about?
It didn't start as a card game. You know that, right?
Was the TV show first?
Oh my god, bro. You're fucking with me. I know you are. It's a Game Boy game. It was a Game Boy game.
Well, yeah, I know that, but the cards came first.
No, they didn't.
Oh, what? Come on, dude.
Yeah, you're lying. I know you're fucking with me right now.
Did the games come first?
Yeah. You're fucking with me, right? You didn't play Pokemon when you were a kid?
I've played Yellow, Blue, and Red.
Yeah, they came first. But
the games came first?
Yeah, like years before the cards.
Pokemon cards or game. The game was released first.
Yeah,
you're right.
Dude,
and then the trading cards.
Yeah, Blue.
But that was only in Japan.
Blue and Red came out when I was like, God, how old was I? I think I was like 6 or 7 years old or something.
1996. Pokemon never reached the U.S. until 96, where both the game and the cartoon were released at E3.
I didn't know the cartoon came out at the same time. When did the cards come? I thought you were fucking with me, man. That's crazy.
No, I thought the cards were first.
That's pretty cool. That's interesting.
The cards were released in 96 too. So it must have all came out at the same time in the United States.
No shit.
Cards, game, and TV show.
I didn't even know the cards were around back then. Dude, I thought the games... Okay. I didn't think the cards came... Oh my God. Do you have...
This is getting Wait.
Do you have Red Charizard? Do you have Charizard? Bro, do you know how much that card's worth?
That's what I was about to tell you. Remember how I said before we started the show, I haven't hit the lottery yet?
You're fucking with me.
I looked up these cards earlier today because my kids have become obsessed with Pokemon.
You're fucking with me right now.
And so he's like, hey, can we play Pokemon cards? And I was like, yeah, we can look up how to play. I don't remember how to play the game, right? So I was like, we can look it
better
up.
Better not play. Don't play with that card.
So, yeah, dude. So I was like, okay, before we play this game, I was like, let me look at these cards and see if I can determine the value of these things. So I'm looking up, like, how do you determine the value of these cards, right? It's like, number one, look in the bottom left corner, see if you see a circle, a square, or a star. Star means the most rare. Then, obviously, is it holographic or not? That makes a difference. And then look at the little number that's like number/number. That will tell you, like, the value. So here I've got, it's not a first generation. I wish it was first generation.
Where's the star?
Holographic. The star is down. This way. Right, that bottom left corner.
Okay. I see the star.
This tiny little star.
I see it. Yep.
And then there's a little number beside it that tells you that you can like actually look up. And it's obviously holographic, right?
Yeah.
So I looked this one up. Someone sold this card like 6 days ago on some website for like $250.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Which is not a ton.
Dude.
You must be thinking of something. I don't know what you're thinking.
I thought you were about to be like, this thing's worth like $200,000.
No. I don't know which card that is, but first edition.
The first edition, yeah.
I've got four Charizard cards here. I've got regular Charizard, Blaine's Charizard, Dark Charizard, and two Dark Charizards. One of them is holographic, one of them is not. Each of those Charizard cards are worth in the hundreds of dollars based on my research today.
Dude, that's crazy.
I had no idea.
I fucking had those cards when I was a kid and just gave them away.
Yeah, I was on a work call today, or maybe yesterday. And I was talking about my kids being obsessed with Pokemon. And these ladies are like, oh my gosh, I'm trying to get rid of these cards. I've got like 20,000 Pokemon cards in my house. I was like, just, you can have them. I'm like, and some other dude spoke up. He's like, yeah, you should probably check the value on those cards before you. I was like, dude, shut up. Yes, give me those cards.
I'll take them off your hands.
Yeah.
I'll come get them right now.
Yeah, so I looked up the value on these things. And even the like some of the non- big deal ones are like $50. People like, and not just people saying they're worth that. It was some website that I found. It said like sold 3 days ago, the same card I have for $48. I'm like, dude, $48 just sitting here in this binder in a sleeve? Like, hell yeah.
You have a savings account that you've been sitting on for years. You should probably save, like, you shouldn't even sell them yet. Oh my God. You have fucking a ton of cards. Holy shit, dude.
It's not even that many, but like the first three pages, like all these are holographic cards and they're all like the star ratings for like rarity. I've got a few first editions, but they're not, the first editions that I have aren't actually worth that much.
Do you remember when they released Pokemon Go?
Hell yeah, dude. Hey, check out,
you should have sold them when they did that. You got a fucking Poliwhirl. Oh my God. And a Mewtwo. Holy shit.
A Mewtwo.
That
Magneton.
Yeah, man.
Wait. That Magneton's first edition.
That's crazy, dude. Holy shit.
Yeah, pretty cool. So anyways.
Damn, man.
That was the nerd hour.
I had Pokemon Red and Blue. And I remember when I gave them to my friend in like college. I was like, yeah, I'm never going to play these. Just have them. I totally regret it. Because like fucking during when Pokemon Go came out, they were going for like $500 each.
The Game Boy games?
Yeah.
Dang, dude. That's insane.
I know. And I had a Game Boy Pocket too. And that was going for like $500. Oh, yeah. Like I almost want to hit him up and be like, hey, man,
I haven't talked to you in 10 years, but you still got my stuff.
I think my cousin might actually still have her Game Boy Color.
I kind of want to buy. Yeah, I kind of want to buy one, not a color. Like I actually want the black and white one.
You want the old school? Yeah. Yeah. I remember having. I had the one that was like the super thick gray one that was like this tall. I had that one.
Yeah.
And then of course I got the Game Boy Pocket. The Game Boy Pocket was still black and white, right?
It was still black and white. I had a little green one. Yeah.
Yeah. And then the Game Boy Color came out, and then the, I guess the DS was after that maybe.
Yeah, I think it was the DS, and then the Advance came out.
Yeah, man, that was the day.
I had,
that was so cool.
I had like a I had terrible vision, right? So I had like this little magnifying glass attachment that I put on my Game Boy Pocket. And then like I had that little camera insert because I had that little camera game where like there was a bunch of like little mini games. And then you could also like take pictures with it and put like, it was like the first selfie thing ever where you could take selfies. And like I was taking selfies and like printing them out on in black and white on this like little printer on this like little printer thing. Like I was in school like taking selfies with people and shit. It was like,
that's so awesome.
Yeah,
I had the I remember you had to use the flashlight attachment because there was no backlighting on the screens.
Yeah, it had a flashlight.
You need the flashlight.
It had the magnifying glass had a flashlight on it too. Like, dude, yeah. I was a super nerd, dude. I had these huge glasses. I would be on the bus, people would be like looking at me. I'd have like all these fucking. I'd have this like crazy looking Game Boy. Yeah, man.
And you had your carrying case with all your games in it.
Oh man, absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah. Dude, I love that. I mean, I'm sure you could probably get like an emulator for your iPhone. Get the Pokemon Red on your iPhone, probably.
This I mean, I've played it on my computer. I have it on my computer.
Do you? Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
I have a lot of old games on my computer. From like,
I mean, we were just talking about Jake Paul walked out with a $1 million. Wasn't it $1 million value? Like a Pokemon
first edition Charizard card. He like they valued it at like $1 million. That's why I was like, you. That's why I was like, are you about to be a millionaire? And then you were like, $250. I was like, ah, man, that sucks.
I mean, still though.
Yeah, that's
dude,
still awesome.
Like I told Shayna, I was like, dude, we're going to have to sit down one night and just go through and like look up the value. Because, I mean, people had these cards listed for like $300 on eBay, you know?
Yeah.
We're going to have to go through and just like write down the value of all these cards and then like determine, is it worth like trying to sell any of them or should I just hold on to them for another 20 years?
Yeah. Dude, I wish I would have just like got on that train. So those first edition cards are from like the 1996 release, yeah. Right?
Yeah. I mean, so some of my, I have a few at first editions. Let's see. I'll tell you which first editions I've got. First edition Magneton. First edition Machamp. First edition Ho-Oh. First edition Suicune? I don't know how to say that.
Hey,
I think there was a first edition Sneasel.
We should probably wrap up the podcast.
Yeah, we probably should. If you guys want to, and check out our other podcast, Pokemon Cards with Risa and AJ.
That's our actual seventh podcast that we've now released.
That one's Wednesday at 4 a.m.
Wednesdays at 4 a.m. And there's actually a spinoff to that one. It's called Pokemon Red. And we just talk about just the video game. So check that one out 4 a.m. Yeah. on Thursdays.
We don't sleep.
Oh, man. Yeah. That's
this
awesome.
This has been fun.
Yeah, a lot of fun.
All right, well, as always, guys, we appreciate you tuning into another episode and ask that you please like and subscribe on YouTube, follow on Spotify, and come say hi to us on Instagram and Twitter.
Yes, that's right. And of course, if you really want to help us grow the show, please share this episode with a friend you think will like it. For now, we'll see you on the next episode. Peace.